From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Markets got rattled starting in Europe this morning. Here's what happened. It emerged that a bank in Portugal has accounting irregularities. Then it came out that Banco Espirito Santo's parent company would have to delay paying some bondholders. This is a vivid sign that some European countries are still financial messes and prices dropped. In early trading, the Dow and the S&P 500 indices were down about 1%. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
I suppose we forget that Europe's financial crisis is not over at our peril.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things we tend to see is in recent months, many of the bonds in these periphery countries have fallen to that of the Treasury bond. And to think that they're as safe as we are is a bit of an illusion. Europe has still got a lot of problems, particularly in its banking sector, and still has to work all those out.
Now, speaking of U.S. interest rates, what about the U.S. economy? The Federal Reserve yesterday afternoon offered some insight in the form of minutes from a recent Fed meeting. What did you learn, Diane?
One of the things people are getting a little bit overly excited about is that everything's perfect and we should pop the champagne corks and the Fed's going to be raising rates soon. Not only is the Fed concerned about raising rates too quickly and causing ripple effects elsewhere in the world, like Europe, they're also worried, you know, we've been faked out more than once on this recovery. And they're really committed to raising rates very gradually. That was very reassuring to financial markets yesterday, that some people who thought the Fed might have an itchy trigger finger realized, no, the Fed does not have an itchy trigger finger. The world is still a pretty dicey place. Kind of would be nice if, in fact, the Fed had to raise rates because the world was so good.
Yeah, it would be nice. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
There's the scandal at the Department of Veterans Affairs over long delays for veterans seeking care. Now an old problem at the VA has resurfaced in a higher tech form. Tens of thousands of applications for disability claims that veterans filed electronically but have ended up in some kind of digital black hole, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
About a year and a half ago, the VA launched a web portal for submitting disability claims online. Since then, vets have initiated nearly 450,000 claims electronically, but about 300,000 are just sitting there, and now some have expired. Gerald Minar is with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, or VFW.
What we worry about is that some of these people, having started a claim, may be thinking that they've submitted something to VA, and VA is just taking their time to take action on it, when in fact they haven't completed the application process.
Disability payments can range from about $100 a month to several thousand dollars a month. Robert Reynolds is director of the Benefits Assistance Service with the VA. He says the agency made a big push to move the whole claims system online. Vets may be confused about the process.
This is a huge transformational business change.
Reynolds says the VA is meeting with veteran service organizations today to figure out who opened disability claims online and needs help finishing them. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Did you know that some people are attracting a big following on Twitter, then making money putting ads on their Twitter feeds? Instagram, too, as well as YouTube, where one star reportedly earned $4 million last year. But what about people with more modest numbers of social media fans? Reporter Tracy Samuelson looked into that for us.
This is a cute little corner.
Tamara Peterson is better known as
underscore Tamara Peterson.
That's her Instagram handle, where about 70,000 people follow her photos, mostly New York cityscapes, a pair of birds flying in between skyscrapers, a woman striding past a brownstone with an I Love New York bag.
These shadows are beautiful.
Because she has a large and engaged following who regularly like and comment on her feed, companies have paid Peterson to shill for them with her photos.
About $500 to $1,000 a post.
Big brands like Home Depot, and smaller ones like Blue Apron, a meal delivery company.
I'm picky about the jobs I take because I want my feed to look a certain way, so I don't take any job.
Instagram is just a hobby, and she doesn't want to quit her day job. On the other hand, Sarah Hopkins, a.k.a. Sayhop, could imagine social media eventually becoming a full-time gig. She's got a bigger following, but only a slightly higher rate. She posts mostly goofy selfies, videos of her dog Chico, and this crazy dolphin voice that she can do.
Hey, Marcy, did you know it's National Dolphin Day?
Across Vine, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, Hopkins has about 350,000 followers. She's a local TV reporter, but she doubles her salary by posting ads on these sites, whether it's a six-second video on Vine or a photo on Instagram.
For Coke, I'm doing two Vines and I think one Instagram post, and it's about $2,800.
Old Navy paid her $2,000 for a Vine and a tweet. So what do her followers say?
You know, it varies between people saying, well, you know what, if you're going to make money off of it, cool, as long as you don't do it every day, all the time.
On a recent paid post, one person commented that he was unfollowing her because of the ad. But the rest of the nearly 40 comments rushed to her defense. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And who wins in a fight to the finish tournament in which the competitors are the people from Game of Thrones versus Downton Abbey? I don't know. Those aristocrats in Downton sometimes don't fight fair. The Emmy nominations came out this morning, and those are among the competitors in the Best Drama Series category. That also includes Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and True Detective. Now, that is the definition of a tough crowd. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.